It's PacView's Melissa Burdick, the Wizard of Woodland Hills Shree, special guest host Jackie Danowski from Flywheel, and I'm PVSB, also from Flywheel, a division of Omnicom. Before we get to the CPG Guys episode you've downloaded, it's the week of April 29th, an ACDS annual week, and it's time for the Fresh Four. Four curated news stories from the past week. We find them masterfully intriguing. We hope you do too. They're brought to you through our partnership with RetailWit, your one-stop shop for retail industry intelligence and news. RetailWit.com, it's retail right now. Sheree, lead us off, would you?
Albertsons has been named the 2024 winner of the Webby Award for People's Voice Top Shopping and Retail App. I am so immensely proud of the shopper experience team, our engineering counterparts, and all of our cross-functional partners across the organization. Cheers to your hard work and customer obsession, said Jill Pavlovich, SVP of Customer Experience at Albertsons. 23 individual Albertsons associates were recognized in earning this award. Congratulations to all of you, and over to you, Melissa.
Best Buy and CNET are combining their ad inventory. Consumer electronics retailer Best Buy and digital publisher CNET are teaming up to create a new retail media model. The electronics retailer and the publisher are combining their ad inventory, allowing advertisers to buy across Best Buy Ads retail media network and alongside CNET's tech review-focused editorial content, and measure whether ads seen on either platform drove sales. In a month-long survey during which CNET content was displayed nationally across Best Buy's in-store TV walls, 86% of respondents said the content made them more confident in their purchases. It also garnered a 25% lift in purchase intent, according to the companies. Super interesting space as retailers continue to look for differentiation.
Thank you, Melissa. The National Association of Chain Drugstore annual meeting set to take place this week in Palm Beach, Florida. The annual meeting of the NACDS is set to begin Sunday, April 27th at the Breakers Hotel in Palm Beach, Florida. Featured speakers include Walter Isaacson and Arthur C. Brooks. NACDS annual is noted for the strategic meetings that transpire between retailers, consumer goods manufacturers, sales and marketing agencies, and other ecosystem service partners. If you're on a budget, make sure to get a hot dog at the poolside restaurant at $27. It is the least expensive menu entree offered at this five-star resort. Brian, Sheree, and Andrea are all in attendance this year. Closing it out, Jackie.
Hello, Fresh Four listeners. Red Bull Pink Edition Sugar-Free hits shelves. Red Bull is launching a new permanent sugar-free edition this summer. Red Bull Pink Edition Sugar-Free combines raspberry and forest fruits with herbal notes of verbena. It is the second new variant introduced by the brand this year, and the first fully sugar-free flavor in its portfolio, aiming to attract new shoppers to the category. Red Bull editions have been largely incremental to the brand, with 50% of edition buyers being new to Red Bull as they grow their flavor offering.
Thank you, Jackie, and welcome as a guest host to the Fresh Four. That's it for the Fresh Four. Now on to the CPG Guys episode that you've downloaded. Welcome to another episode of the CPG Guys podcast. Our co-hosts, Sheree Rajagopalan and Peter V.S. Bond, explore how brands and retailers engage with consumers online, in-store, and everywhere in between. And now, here are Sheree and Peter.
Welcome, everyone, to this episode of the CPG Guys podcast. And I'm one of the aforementioned CPG Guys, Sheree. And my focus is media, direct-to-consumer, supply chain e-commerce, omnichannel, in-store, e-commerce, and everything in between. I'd like to remind our audience, do visit all our content on cpgguys.com. And we would always appreciate a rating. Easy way to do it. ratethispodcast.com/cpgguys. And I think there's a rumor that's floating around that Peter likes seeing five stars every now and then. What is that about, Peter? Five stars?
I hear that the Apple Podcast platform allows us to generate ratings and reviews on our podcast.
How about that, folks? How about that? So while you do visit ratethispodcast.com/cpgguys, it's the best forum to give us feedback on the show itself. Do you like the content? Do you want us to modify the content? Who or what you'd like to have on the show? And do reach out to us. Also, another reminder that starting late December 2020, we started appending a fresh four every Monday where we focus on the four newsworthy articles in the CPG industry, retail, or brand, and bring that to you at the beginning of every episode. And now when you listen to any episode, you'll be able to catch the fresh four for this that given week, irrespective of episode one or episode close to 70 like this one. And so without further ado, I'd like to welcome my co-host, the man from data, CRM, centricity of consumers, insights, loyalty, the man himself, also known as Mr. Bond.
Sri, how you doing today? Wow. Usually I jump in with my analogies, but today I just want to talk about how incredibly impressed I am with the interest that we seem to be generating in this space. By the time this podcast hits, we're going to be close to 4,000 followers on LinkedIn and nearly 2,000 downloads a week. This is just remarkable. I'm so excited that people find this niche of the industry. Calling it a niche is probably underrepresenting really what it is, but it struck a nerve and people like it. And we're so happy to be creating this content. And that's why going to Apple Podcasts is important, people, because then we know what you want us to talk about. So it's great to be here on the journey with you, Sri.
Thank you, Peter. And as we know, 4,000 plus followers on LinkedIn organically didn't happen just because it's Peter and Sri of the CPG guys. It's because you folks, listeners, chimed in, told us what you'd like to hear from us, and have stayed the course on the journey with us. So for our new followers, welcome aboard. And now I'd like to welcome our special guest to the show today, a friend of mine, as well as the co-founder and CEO and the brains behind Upgrade.me. I'd love to tell you about Upgrade.me myself because I worked that with Justin way back, actually a couple years ago at this stage. But Justin, why don't you tell us about who you are and what you do for Upgrade and what Upgrade is all about?
And where people would find Upgrade on the web right now, because a lot of people like to do that when they're first listening. They like to multitask. So first, tell us what your URL is.
Sure. So it's great to be here. And thank you guys so much. So the URL is Upgrade, but UPGRAID.com or .me. So it's a little play on words. So excited to be here. So I'll give you a little bit of background on myself. I've been a serial entrepreneur now for about 12 years. Been in a family that's been pioneering a lot of different industries at a large scale, close to about $4 billion to date as a collective unit. And we came up with a thesis about five, 6 years ago that the world's pretty screwed up. And how do we help solve it? And so everything from the food systems to the environment to sustainability. And Upgrade got started about 2 years ago. I was dealing with chronic neck and back pain, and I was looking around the table of all of my loved ones, my friends, my families, and my father constantly taking some form of synthetic chemical to manage their chronic condition. And as an entrepreneur, I was tired of watching on the TV where 45 seconds out of the minute long commercial was a warning label about how that synthetic chemical, that drug, was going to hurt you 12 ways, but hey, it might help lower your cholesterol or make you feel better. And then as an educated consumer, I was tired of walking the supplement aisle through the CVS, the Walgreens, the vitamin shops of the world and asking for any kind of form of science from the supplements and getting kind of blank-eyed stares saying, no, it doesn't really exist. So I came home kind of thinking through all of this. And I went online and saw the stat that stated that 86% of our healthcare costs are spent on chronic conditions and only 3% are spent on prevention. And I saw that as a huge market opportunity. There has to be something in between pharma and in between supplements that pairs the best of both. It's take the top science, pair it with the top of nature. So that's when I literally cold called my co-founder, Helene Rutledge. And at that time, she was chief innovation officer of New Avon. She was formerly the head of global R&D director of Pfizer phase 3B4 clinical supplies. She was a former head of open innovation at GlaxoSmithKline, and she was a former VP of R&D at Nature's Bounty. the perfect combination of science, innovation, and understanding of the customer. And I, as me being completely not from the pharma industry, not from the nutrition industry, I asked her one single question, which was, in my opinion, pretty basic. But how come no one has ever taken a pharmaceutical scientific approach to clinically study plant-based products, run double-blind placebo trials, create patient-reported outcomes and secondary measures on the final formulation, and actually pair the best of pharma with the best of nature and really launch the next iteration of plant-based products? And at that time, I think she said it was impossible. 2 weeks later, in a couple of coffees, looking at you, Sri, and a couple other people, we all decided to join together and to create the next kind of iteration of healthcare where we can truly showcase transparency, science, and honesty to consumers and take the top pharmaceutical executives in the world and sit there and say, great, do exactly what you were doing for Big Pharma, but now focus it on the fully plant-based products. And let's really start to change and systematically change healthcare forever, where we can actually provide affordable and accessible products at a dollar a day that actually have real science and real patient results and actually truly transform healthcare, hopefully for the better, where we can actually be proactive and preventative. And what we like to say is really rebalance that equation, not from 86% spent on prevent or chronic conditions to only 3% spent on preventing, but really make that a more balanced aspect. And that's what Upgrade is all about. And first products solely focus on to daily inflammation, fully organic, clinically studied. We have pharmacokinetic studies for ingredients. We have a lot of those types of kind of unique dynamics, full cGMP, FDA approved, NSF certified. And then the next one is for controlled glucose, where it can mitigate the peaks and the valleys of your immediate glucose levels and provide long-term A1C benefits.
A dollar a day, does it keep the doctor away, Justin?
Yeah, that's what we hope. That and an apple.
I'm just kidding. That and an apple. That's the key hook now, the apple. So that said, Justin, I feel like you just took us through the journey of how Upgrade was born and the motivation as well behind Upgrade. But I'd love to ask you, you know, true success doesn't happen running the race alone. How did you actually find people, like you mentioned, coffees, and then eventually it's turned into a team, like there's an actual team now focused on this executing. You started as a D2C, then you got on Amazon. Like, can you take us through the journey of how you found good people to work on this ecosystem of self-care and then actually at the same time develop new product and then launch it on multiple platforms?
Yeah, so the first I'll kind of tackle is what I like to call the human capital. I don't have many skills in my life, but I think one of them is being extremely well-connected, and that's been through a lot of my own personal hard work and navigation.
We add wit and charm.
Yeah, something like that. Or at least I just pay for coffee. And so when I started this kind of thought process and the brainstorming and with Helene and then obviously with you, Sri, and everyone, I was amazed at how quickly people from the industry, people with the credibility from the regulatory aspects to the marketplacing to the science, all jumped in and really embraced the initiative and the mission, recognizing that if we had the magic wand, this would be the way that healthcare would be set up and much more focused on the proactive and preventative. And that's what kind of sparked me as not coming from the industry to continue to drive. How do I continue to essentially put the company in the middle of the circle and look at each kind of the hub of the wheel and each spike being a potential risk from regulatory to direct to consumer to marketing to product formulation to manufacturing to distribution and so on, and sit there and say, great, how can I now go off? And especially through LinkedIn, you can pretty much find everyone and anyone and find the best of the best people and put them in each one of those locations so that I know, at least from a business operating perspective, from the management perspective, that I'm a phone call away from someone that's engaged in the company that has gone through the 20, 30, 40 years of experience that can navigate all the twists and turns that undoubtedly a startup always goes through. So that's been kind of my special skill and really been my drive, where I'm never starting a business unless I can look around the table and say, there's a industry expert in each one of the main risk categories that can help navigate the development of this. And that I think is true from any entrepreneur, right? And I'm one that is, and a lot of my past businesses and current businesses are about disruption. And I don't think that disruption has to be perfect to start. I think you just have to get it out there. Then you start to refine. And what we like to say is every day you can get a little bit better. It's about adapting and learning from the customer and learning what does and doesn't work. So when we originally started, we were solely just on kind of the Shopify online website. We launched with a okay brand and okay messaging, kind of not the best website, and just kind of started to test it out, understand what the sales funnel really meant, and understand how consumers were reacting to the products. And then it was okay, great. Once we kind of got to what we thought was a critical threshold of a proof point, we said, great, now let's really refine it. Now let's really put some capital behind building out the brand, the messaging, and then the real go-to-market strategy, which to your point, absolutely includes the Amazon strategy. And what we're recognizing and seeing is, I'm sure you guys do, and you guys are the experts in this, but where Facebook's really the kind of TV, the commercial, you build up that sales funnel. A lot of people look at, okay, what's the credibility of the website, the testimonies and all that. And then I think a lot of people are just reverting right to Amazon from a purchasing habit perspective, that their information's already loaded up. If you're on that, great. A couple clicks and it's already showing up at your door the next day.
Justin, thank you for joining us today. It's good to talk to you again. I know Sri introduced us last year. I'm really intrigued by the business model as it relates to the broader healthcare approach here in this country. You're advocating self-care, which is more preventative. It's trying to prevent the condition from happening versus intervention of treating it after the condition, the negative condition has already occurred. Seems like we're more focused on the latter than the former in this country. How are you trying to change that with your business? And what do you see as being some of the macro trends that are going to enable your brand to follow the pursuit of turning outcome-based healthcare into a more dominant component of our approach to the industry?
It's a great question. And in the United States, for better or worse, we're completely reactive in our healthcare system, right? We go to the doctor and we say, fix me. And meanwhile, we're still eating the burgers, we're still not working out, and we're still, our lifestyles suck, right? And we are inundated with processed foods. You walk into any type of grocery store, gas station, and what do you look around? You look around at a bunch of processed BS foods that just continuously perpetuate the system of the healthcare system that we're currently in. So we absolutely have to get to a more proactive and preventative care system. We currently spend $3 trillion on preventable conditions in the United States. We will literally bankrupt our country over the next 10, 20 years. Insurance providers will not be able to pay for this for us if we continue down the route. And then you look at what's happening globally. Well, where are all the processed foods and where are all the sugared kind of drinks populating? You're talking about Africa and Asia, and China is going to have going from 150 to close to 490 million people that are at risk for prediabetes over the next 10 years. Two-thirds of the United States population will have at least two chronic conditions by 2030. It's insane, right? And it's inundated in the system at the early age. I mean, you look at the military, a good portion, about 20% of them are dealing with chronic conditions and are oftentimes non-deployable. So this is a systematic problem. And I look at from our perspective of solving the food system, that's going to be very difficult. People are working on that, but reducing processed foods, reducing sugar, and getting right, affordable, healthy, good for you foods into the hands of everyone, and also changing that lifestyle habit is going to be a long term. So what are we focused on, and what I think is the marketplace? Well, telemedicine has been booming, right? Especially because of COVID, and now people are recognizing, great, with all their wearables and with all this data that we can actually truly start to analyze and collect. And most people are willing to engage on a telemedicine platform much more than they're willing to just go to the doctors every 6 months for their checkup.
Yep.
Well, what is telemedicine talking about? Which is fantastic, but it's only talking about lifestyle changes. Eat better and work out more. Well, the compliance of that is great for some people, pretty bad for others. What do people easily comply with and start to make part of their daily habit? Well, it's their pills that they take every morning, where they start to feel where they can at least wake up and start to feel a little bit better every day. So what we came up with a thesis of, great, let's take the top pharma science, create these necessary PROs and the evidentiary data, but adhere to the full plant-based movement and intertwine and create the right mechanisms of compliance and easily consumable products every single day that then, yes, paired with healthy for you foods, better for you foods, and a better lifestyle, all of that becomes an ecosystem where we can truly prevent and hopefully drastically prevent the rise of chronic conditions. But it has to be a lifestyle. And we think that putting that type of form into a pill form is really the way to increase compliance the most and enable people to start to feel a little bit better every day. Because once that person starts to feel a little bit better every day, you know what? Eating a salad isn't that difficult at lunch. I am feeling good. This whole being healthy isn't that difficult. And then I will go get my 10,000 steps. And all of a sudden, you start to build up this mindset that's much more tangible and approachable than just you're overweight, you got to eat better.
So we've talked military. We've talked product. We've talked a little bit about need states and insurance. But Justin, you come from an agriculture-based startup background. And, you know, it's not that you spent a year there. You spent close to a decade in that space. How does a millennial who's in the agriculture world and your personal passion of saving the planet as well as conserving natural resources become a CPG expert to be able to govern a company in the right direction, making everyday consumable products? You just happen to read a lot? Like, what's going on inside that mind of yours?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm even close to being a CPG expert at all.
Neither are we.
Yeah.
We just like the name CPG guys.
Fake it till you make it.
Yeah, exactly. I'll answer the question a little bit of a different way, right? So from the agriculture perspective, we were constantly recognizing that the soil health, right, which is essentially the mimicking dynamics of your gut, right? So there's all these microorganisms in there that are feeding the soil that are then growing your strawberries, blueberries, avocados, right? And the constant usage of a synthetic chemical fertilizer was constantly killing the microactivity, right? And then you were trying to improve the soil health, which then could increase the crop yield and not use so much synthetic chemicals. But the agriculture industry is exactly parallel, pretty close to being parallel, with the human consumption of synthetic chemicals, right? So if we're just putting chemicals on for a quick fix and not recognizing the long-term problems of soil health, and we're just destroying all of the good in the soil just to get that year's yield of crops, well, great. We're relatively pretty much doing the exact same thing here of just trying to mask the symptoms of pain and inflammation or arthritis or whatever it may be. And we're just trying to mask the symptoms or just keep prolonging the ill effects of it with some form of synthetic chemical that was going to cause harm to your body over time. So in many ways, I look at both of them as actually exactly the same problem that we are trying to solve. We need to, if you put good nutrition, if you literally take fruits and vegetables and meats and chop it up into a liquid fertilizer and put it onto the soil, those microbes grow better, the crops grow better. All of a sudden, your yields skyrocket, right? The microbial activity loves the good nutrition, not the synthetic chemicals. Same thing with your body. And unfortunately, both industries got so used to just constantly, that was their solve, instead of really recognizing what's really in the benefit of the long term. And we're seeing the same problems in the soil health as we are seeing the same problems in human health.
A little known secret, there's not a week that goes by where Justin and I are not treating either a text message, a LinkedIn comment, or generally other formats on social media such as Facebook on saving the planet and conserving natural resources and our shared passion for the transformation from healthcare to self-care, which arguably is actually well on its way.
Yep.
Justin, are you getting text messages at 4 a.m. from Sri like I am? Because we need to talk.
He did get one this morning, by the way. That's Peter.
It's the only way to work.
It's the only way I can get his attention. I know. So we love having entrepreneurs on the podcast because Sri and I are just fascinated. We have that. I mean, if you think about what this podcast is, it's a startup. So let's talk about the DNA of a startup, particularly around the strategies and tactics that enable growth. Would love to hear about what you've learned launching this business and hacks you might share with our audience to really help them innovate and grow faster based upon the experiences that you've had.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and as Sri knows, I have a couple other kind of startups that have now gone on, raised a couple $100 million and have been scaling over different time periods. And I think everyone goes back to A, what we talked about at the beginning, human capital first, but B, it's the story that I often told and tell and ask each one of my employees or founding partners. And I think Sri, you and I talked about this too. It's everything that I'm doing and everything that comes out of my mouth and my mind and my kind of effort on a daily basis is to truly try to figure out ways to better the world and better the earth. And I recognize that, at least I don't have kids, but my niece, who's now turning one next week, is by the time she's my age, the world could be drastically, drastically different and for the negative, from environmental resources, from human health, from a whole skew of everything that I'm pretty dead set on. Okay, how do we drastically change that system? So I asked every one of my employees, which was the most impactful question of that I've ever been asked, which is, what is your dash? And if that dash aligns the mission of that company, and what is a dash, right? So I had no idea when I got first asked it, but the guy in the back of the room came up and started pointing at me around and looked at everyone else in the room and said, everyone's defined by your own dash. What is your dash? And it's pretty simple, but the day that you're dead, you have your gravestone, the name that you were given, the day that you were born, dash, the day that you're dead. Your dash is your legacy, your dash is your contribution to society, and the, what people will remember you for. So if that dash aligns with the mission of the company, how do we systematically change healthcare, right? Or how do we create the best renewable energy? Or how do we solve food waste? Whatever that dash is, all of a sudden, if that dash and that mission of the company align, then you have the right team. And people will, as you just mentioned, people will be up at 4 a.m. texting away because it's constantly on their mind. It's not work. It's literally not work. Great. We all know that in order to have the greatest impact in the world, we have to have the greatest economics. We have to build a scalable, profitable business, right? And that has to be it, because that then fuels and enables us to have the greatest impact. And all that continues to go forward. So as a shareholder, as an investor, it's like, great, I'm going to give you a freaking better return than outside of GameStop. I'm going to give you a better return than anything else out there, because it's what has to happen in order for us to succeed the mission.
We're having fun every day in the process, hopefully participating in the transformation of the CPG industry towards the omnichannel mission, because that's where the consumer is going at the end of the day.
So, Sri, I don't know what I'm going to be able to do to change my dash. I think it's already set in stone and it involves a 6-foot long register receipt. So I'm going to have to do a heck of a lot of work to change that piece of destiny. I think you've got a much better position in terms of defining and aligning that dash in your life.
Mine's still being scripted. Very humbly, it's still being scripted, Peter. But for those of you that don't know, Peter is the one that actually coined and released the 6-foot-long register receipts at a popular drug retailer in this country that has a red logo. So that's his dash. So that's it, Justin. Let's get into the business a little bit. So today you have two products, one focused on the inflammation relief side and another one on more the blood glucose, diabetic, sugar area. Can you tell us a little bit more about each product and what efficacy it delivers, as well as your innovation platform and how you think of the next product you're going to release? And is it really need state? Is it something else?
Yeah. It's a great question. So obviously, as my co-founder, who is a chief formulator, she's had done that now for four major kind of companies and platforms. So her expertise. Then we actually just hired Kim Biederman, who was one of the former head of consumer nutrition at P&G. She's got a PhD and 25 patents and 35 peer-reviewed papers. And so we take a true scientific standard. And we also just announced a major global partnership and innovation with Givaudan, one of the largest flavors and fragrance and ingredients companies, as one of our main suppliers. So we always want to measure it, see it, feel it, right? Going back to why I was upset about the supplement aisle is because there was no consumer data. There was no clinical data. And I couldn't really see if I was measuring it, seeing it, and feeling it for myself. So our first product has two main actives. When we always try to formulate for synergistic benefits where one ingredient gives you a relative immediate feeling and then the other ingredient is much more long acting. So the main ingredient that we have is called Turmeric Pure Gold. It's actually from Givaudan, and it's a uniquely patented extraction of turmeric. Obviously, everyone knows turmeric's a good anti-inflammatory. What Givaudan has done is they've standardized the curcuminoids down to a certain level. They've then made it the world's first 100% bioavailable and 100% water-soluble ingredients. So that 300 milligrams gets into the bloodstream, the equivalent of 1500 milligrams. They then ran pharmacokinetic studies as well as are coming out with a plus 1,000-page peer-reviewed paper showcasing all of this. And then we went through all of their kind of claims and their mechanisms of actions and all that type of stuff from a true scientific level. We then formulate at that exact milligram dosage, and we've combined that with a sensorial ashwagandha that has 12 clinical studies based upon that exact milligram dosage, that which reduces and lowers cortisol levels, so that the turmeric builds up over time for inflammation, and the ashwagandha reduces cortisol, so you get that much more relaxed feeling. We paired that with a black cherry and a ginger as well, which also have anti-inflammatory components. And then what's super unique is that even down to the excipients, essentially like the glues that hold the tablet together, are fully organic, so that we can truly sit here and say everything in that is actually truly fully organic, clinically studied. And then we ran consumer trials on that final formulation. The second product is a plant-based product. We use, once again, two main active ingredients followed by a bunch of others. And those, the main ingredients, like I said, reduce immediate. You take one pill right before your biggest meal. And we paired it with a continuous glucose monitorization product, and we actually flatlined your Thanksgiving dinner from a glucose spiking perspective. It was truly remarkable. And then that's in a double blind trial for long-term, hopefully, A1C benefits. So it's all about measure it, see it, feel it. And then the next product portfolio will start to get into the additional chronic conditions. But we want to, at the end of the day, have a full plant-based portfolio with the real double-blind trials, patient-reported outcomes, intertwining with the right digital strategy to showcase a measure it, see it, feel it, and undeniable science and undeniable transparency to the consumers that what you're consuming is safe for you both short-term and long-term. And it adheres to the movement of plant-based healthcare. And to your point in the beginning, at a dollar a day, where we can really truly make healthcare affordable and accessible to everyone.
You mentioned early on in this conversation that you're fortunate to have a very good network. My question to you is that network necessarily in the healthcare space? And if not, how are you trying to expand your network in healthcare, and what other hacks would you have to share with the audience?
Yeah, so my network was not in the healthcare space. It was much more in the food and the infrastructure development space, which is certainly not the CPG level kind of dynamics. But I think so many people that recognize and are in the food space also recognize the impact of food on health and then the translation of it, that into the healthcare industry. And I think so many people in the healthcare industry recognize the value of quote unquote food is medicine and that whole movement. So I think it actually is very analogous and translatable where people are starting to really bridge that gap where it isn't just two defined industries. It's really starting to, and quite frankly, we need it to come together in a good form and function. So I didn't have the network I had, and I'm one, especially when pre-COVID, I was out trying to figure out and have coffee with everyone and anyone. But I think what was powerful for me was people like Sri and people, so many other people in my life prior that have embraced me, mentored me, and then also helped me in so many ways, because it is true and honest as to how do we collectively help better the world, right? There isn't, I don't want to raise my hand and say, oh, I saved whatever. I did this for this company, or I helped move the world this way. I am a true believer in it is going to what I like to call, we got to bring together the social Avengers, each one with a special skill and special talent to come together and elevate where we all know we need to do. And I am never the smartest one in the room, but it's like, great. I can just keep pulling people's hearts and people's strings to get them into the right room around the right mission. And that's kind of the way I helped build this company. But it's in all with the focus as to, we all know that this needs to happen. And now it's just, okay. Sometimes the best innovation comes from the person that doesn't know the industry.
So let me ask you the priced question of the day, which is, you know, you started on as a direct-to-consumer company, and then you quickly listed on Amazon. And you mentioned right up front during this conversation that, you know, most people, while they may browse on the website of the brand, it's Amazon where they're really quickly hovering over to. So why does one even need like a website and have a direct-to-consumer ecosystem when there's Amazon? And then how are you guys doing in Amazon? Has it just been hard? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, Amazon's been absolutely incredible for us. And we've been scaling there kind of ever since we really got on. Month over month growth has been absolutely incredible. I think people look at the website for credibility and understanding of the core mission of the company, which I don't think necessarily comes across on Amazon. You're much more just product focused of here's the attributes that this product is going to get to you. And I think everything that we just talked about for the past 30 minutes doesn't come across on Amazon. It can much more come across from the website. So I look at website as just a longer form ad kind of speak to the consumer. And then your Amazon is oftentimes where people are recognizing the conversion. Now, where we are going is also the implementation into the B2B market. So working with integrative practitioners, physicians, orthopedic surgeons, and many others to figure out how do we give them our products and work with them on the right evidence, the right patient results, and the right use cases is for our products. And that then starts to really drive additional opportunities to scale, given the credibility of where they are and the targeted audience that they are.
For our audience that has similar aspirations, would love to know some key learning points that transform the dream into a reality. How do they chase their passion and drive success by not just keeping it to themselves, but looking for help along the way in particular? Because you spoke a lot about networking as a mechanism. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think LinkedIn and Instagram are the two most powerful tools from networking. I mean, I probably send out 10, 15, 20 direct messages each day on each platform. People I don't have any reason to that they shouldn't even look at me, right? And many of them don't. I get no's or just no responses for days on ends, but it's just that perseverance and determination and just that kind of in my mindset, I can't go to sleep until I kind of hit my numbers each day. And that's just super easy. It's just a canned message that, okay, here's what I'm doing and focused for you specifically, but it's pretty damn easy. As for the entrepreneurship, I mean, we've all been there. I've been as even recently as the past couple of months and laying in bed, staring up the screen, being with a full anxiety attack, being like, I don't know where the hell how are we going to figure this out? Where's the next cash going to come from? How are we going to make payroll? What am I going to do? But also those are the best times too. If you just embrace it and you understand that this is part of the dynamic of the entire roadmap of every business. If you even look at Elon Musk, right? SpaceX, Tesla, SolarCity, they were all, I mean, especially Tesla was pretty much down to his last dime in 2008 going into Christmas. It's like, then now look at it, right? But recognize that those companies and most companies take 10, 5, 7, 10 years to really develop and mature and understand where their market fit is. I think the one problem that we have with CPG nowadays is that, yes, it is the amazing thing is that people can build a website, put a product, and start selling it tomorrow, right? Through Shopify and everything and Amazon, which is fantastic. It also, unfortunately, in many ways, has created this false sense of, well, my company should be an overnight success over the next 12 months. And if I'm not hitting my $10 million in sales target by then what am I doing? Right. And so there has to be the recognition of that is a far and few between company. And if you are truly trying to make huge impact in the world, there's a reason why the systems and the ingrained systems are currently present, that you're going to have to figure that out over the next kind of 3, 4, 5 years. If you want to really make that huge impact, if you want to sell a nice little tchotchke, then maybe, okay, great. You can scale a business quite quickly with just marketing spend. But if you're looking to really make impact, take a deep breath and recognize there's going to be 4, 5, 6 years and a whole lot of long nights as to figuring it out. But I keep going back, find the right human capital and you can do something special.
Sri, I hear Justin telling us that building a business, planning to get a slot on Shark Tank to grow is really not anything more than a wild hope.
It's also a game show on TV at the end of the day. So, and I may have experience in one of those. It may have something to do with music. Mm. And for all our audience, I'd like to remind you, you can find all our content on cpgguys.com. You know, Peter and I often get asked a question in the industry about profitability and is e-commerce going to change the profitability equation. Back in October of 2020, we ran a series with a five-part series. Five distinct episodes covering the up and downs of the P&L in e-commerce, whether it be gross to net trade sales and chargebacks for supply chain, or whether it be the impact of retail media on a brand P&L. So we'd encourage you to go back and look at those episodes, and where you can find it is simply go to cpgguys.com, profitability documents. And in the episode 40 to 55 range, you can find all five of those episodes. As always, do rate us at ratethispodcast.com/CPGguys. It's the best way we receive feedback from you. You can shape the outcomes of this show. I'd like to remind you all also that January 2021 was about Founders Month. And now we've decided to make it Founders Quarter, Q1 2021. And hence this conversation with Justin. Justin, I can't thank you enough for appearing in the podcast and inspiring both vision as well as serial entrepreneurship. But for the sake of our audience, can you remind them again where they can find product from Upgrade?
Sure. Upgrade, so upgraid.com or .me.
Thank you, Justin. Peter, as always, it's a pleasure to be with you here.
Sri, I love this. We've got an entrepreneur who's trying to actually make the world better and focus on better outcomes. I don't think that we could talk about anything more inspiring as part of our Founders Quarter series. So thanks for the...
No debate.
Thanks for this and thanks for the journey. Having a great time. Let's keep it going, shall we?
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Peter. And we will see you back next week on Monday with another episode of the CPG Guys.
The content in this podcast episode is provided for general informational purposes only. By listening to our episode, you understand that no information contained in this episode should be construed as advice from CPG Guys LLC or the individual author, hosts, or guests, nor is it intended to be a substitute for research on any subject matter. Reference to any specific product or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by CPG Guys LLC. The views expressed by guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. The views expressed by CPG Guys LLC do not represent the views of their employers or the entity they represent. CPG Guys LLC expressly disclaims any and all liability or responsibility for any direct, indirect, incidental, special, consequential, or other damages arising out of any individual's use of, reference to or inability to use this podcast or the information we present in this podcast.